And welcome to Doctor's Own Call on 95.5 WSB, a weekly show dedicated to helping you live a healthier and happier life. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Good health leads to a good life, but finding medical advice that is free and trustworthy is challenging. That's exactly why 95.5 WSB and the incredible team at Northside Hospital have come together to bring you this show. We're providing real doctors and real answers to your questions. Today, we're so fortunate to have Iwana Bonta joining us. Dr. Bonta is a board-certified medical oncologist with Georgia Cancer Specialists, part of Northside Hospital Cancer Institute, where she focuses on thoracic oncology, head and neck malaces, melanoma, and clinical trials. She also serves as an adjunct clinical assistant professor at Morehouse School of Medicine. As Dr. Bonta puts it, we treat the patient, not only the disease. That's exactly the kind of care and perspective she brings to her patients every single day. This kind of conversation that could genuinely change someone's life. Dr. Bonta, welcome to Doctors on Call.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. And we're taking your calls, folks. So if you have questions for Dr. Bonta, pick up that phone and call 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. So you're an oncologist that treats specifically head and neck cancers.
Yes. In oncology, we, in general, we have to think about the principles of oncology, and they actually apply to every cancer, but every cancer, head and neck cancer, lung cancer, melanoma, they do have their own specificities, their own treatments, and their own principles that we go by.
Okay. I want to jump in to immunotherapies because I feel like that's become a buzzword that people are throwing around when it comes to oncology. Folks who aren't familiar with the term, what exactly is immunotherapy? How's it different from traditional treatments like chemotherapy and radiation?
Yeah. So immunotherapy, it's a group of treatments that actually harness a patient's own immune system and tries to help it recognize, identify the cancer cells and kill the cancer cells. And what else it's better than your own immune system to kill the cancer? Immunotherapy has been around for a long time, but we really just over the last decades or couple of decades were able to truly use it as a tool in our armamentarium. Other therapies like chemotherapy, cytotoxic chemotherapy, kills cancer cells, actually kills the cells that are very actively dividing, very rapidly multiplying. But guess what other cells are rapidly multiplying? Our own body cells, like hair.
The good cells.
The good cells, like hair, or the lining of our gastrointestinal tract, like the GI tract, the mucosa, hence the side effects such as hair loss or nausea and vomiting. And then we have radiation. Radiation kills cancer cells with the ionizing radiation. Sometimes we actually use all those modalities in combination. There are times where you only use immunotherapy or maybe just radiation, but many times we still use combination of those different treatments, such as immunotherapy or chemotherapy or targeted therapy or radiation and surgery.
You know, I want you to share with our listeners the history of immunotherapy. We were talking about that before the show, and I think it's very interesting how long it's been around because we've just started hearing about immunotherapy in the last few years.
Yes. Actually, there was always an interest in using our own immune system to kill whatever it's it's harmful for our system, especially the cancer cells. In the 1980s, actually, Dr. Cooley was trying to inject some toxins from bacteria such as Streptococcus into the tumor cells and make those tumors shrink. Well, it took a long time until about 1990s when the researchers found that injecting a certain vaccine, such as BCG, which is a TB vaccine, injecting it into the bladder directly helps a certain type of bladder cancer called non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. This is a cancer that does not penetrate yet through the muscle of the bladder, just stays on the surface. And injecting this vaccine will stimulate the immunity, and the immune system will ramp up and kill the cancer cells there.
Oh, that's fascinating.
But the real really breakthrough in immunotherapy had happened in the 2010, 2011, mm-hmm. when the first injectable, like going into your blood, immunotherapy drug was FDA approved for a cancer that we think it's very immunogenic called melanoma.
Right.
And that was a true change. It really changed the life of our patients and our lives as oncologists, as people who work with cancer patients. And after that, a plethora of new medications, of immunotherapy medications, started coming up. The door was open, and a lot of progress has been made since 2010.
So you mentioned that melanoma is a cancer that responds to immunotherapy really well. What other cancers respond to immunotherapy?
Yeah, a lot of cancers, but not all of them. There are some cancers that we consider them hot cancers. Those cancers do have a sensitivity. They respond well to immunotherapy, such as lung cancer, bladder cancer, and there are some head and neck cancers, liver cancer, even more, over the last few years, even breast cancer has included the immunotherapy treatment. And there are other cancers that are not that responsive, and we call them the so-called cold tumors, such as pancreas or even prostate cancer. But then there's a trick, like in oncology, we always have to be careful and mindful about each patient and each cancer, because every cancer is different.
Right.
Every patient is different.
Even though two patients can have the same type of cancer, you may treat them completely different.
Correct. And there are some markers that we call them markers for response to treatment. And there are certain markers that give us an indication that, hey, this cancer may respond to immunotherapy, whatever the cancer is, wherever it started. But if we have those markers, there is a better chance that cancer will be treated well with immunotherapy. And those markers are called, I'll give you the medical terms, called PD-L1, programmed death ligand 1, or something like tumor mutation burden, TMB. So if you are a patient that it's been diagnosed with cancer, ask your team, ask your doctor, hey, did we check my tumor for markers? Do I have the PD-L1 or the TMB markers for immunotherapy?
Okay. Now, since immunotherapy is using your own body, are there less side effects with using immunotherapy for cancer treatment?
There are different side effects. There is a side effect pretty much with every medication that we take. You take an aspirin, you can have stomach distress or So nothing comes free of side effects. But it's true, the immunotherapy had really changed the lives of our patients. There are some people, they truly tolerate it really well, and they can go on with almost nearly normal life.
Wow.
And other patients, they do have significant side effects. But talking about the side effects of immunotherapy, think about how the immunotherapy works. It revs up your immune system, and your immune system identifies the cancer cells and kills them. Well, when the immune system is really, really activated, sometimes it can go haywire, and it can start attacking our own body, and we get side effects similar with what we call autoimmune diseases.
Right.
And it can attack any part of our body. The most common side effects of immunotherapy are skin rash, colitis, meaning inflammation of the colon, diarrhea, such as diarrhea, thyroid inflammation, we call it thyroiditis, and patients need to go on a medication. It's usually, thyroiditis is pretty common, and it's easily treated. It's not something that scares us. But I've seen, and actually they are described from the clinical trials, side effects such as inflammation of any organ you can think of.
Oh, wow.
Inflammation of the brain, called encephalitis. It's not common, but it's possible. Inflammation of the lungs, called pneumonitis. It's a little bit more common. It's not the most common, but it can happen. Inflammation of the liver, hepatitis. Inflammation of the adrenal glands, and that's pretty significant because it can lead to something called a condition called adrenal insufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a treatable condition, but it's hard to identify. Everybody's tired. You get cancer treatment, you get even more tired. And immunotherapy can affect your adrenal glands, and this can lead to adrenal insufficiency. So if you get any different, any side effects, please talk to your doctor. The most important thing is to identify what is wrong, and then we can help with that.
Right. The side effects seem as severe as the cancer, in a way.
Sometimes.
Yes.
But again, those are not very common.
Okay.
And patients definitely prefer to have immunotherapy compared with cytotoxic chemotherapy.
All right. We are speaking with Iwana Bonta. She is a board-certified medical oncologist and internist at Northside Hospital. We're taking your calls at 404-872-0750. You're listening to Dr. Zone Call, presented by Northside Hospital and 95.5 WSB. And welcome back to Dr. Zone Call on 95.5 WSB, presented by Northside Hospital. We have in the studio Dr. Bonta. She is a board-certified medical oncologist and internist at Northside Hospital, and for head and neck cancers and chest. Okay. And we're taking your calls at 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Dr. Bonta, what symptoms should people be looking out for with head, neck, chest, if they have something going on and maybe need to come see a specialist?
Yeah, that's a very important question. In general, for, let's say, lung cancer or thoracic cancers, anything that is in that area, like, I have a cough and it doesn't go away, a cough that doesn't go away for 2-3 weeks, it's not a normal cough, please see your primary care physician, your primary care team, and talk to them about that. Shortness of breath, any fevers, chills, night sweats. unintentional weight loss. This is a very important.
Well, I definitely don't have that.
you do not want to. Intentional weight loss, it's something that, you know, I have to congratulate you for, but unintentional
right.
weight loss, it's something that will have, it's a red flag,
uh-huh.
and we need to look into that. And I hear just like you said, patients coming, oh, Dr. Balanta, I lose weight, I'm happy about it. I don't know why,
right.
but I'm happy about
right.
that. That's not something to let it slide.
Okay.
In terms of head and neck cancers, any swallowing difficulties, any dry, like I have to clear my throat.
Like a tickle.
It can be just simple, what we call GERD or reflux, or it can be a little bit more to that. If it doesn't go away, please look into it. Any oral lesions, anything that you feel in your mouth that or your lips or that it hasn't been there before, there are things that are coming and going, such as cold sores, which are not cancers, or canker sores, but things that are there for a few weeks and don't go away. Please see a dentist or a primary care physician and look into that.
What about people who have acid reflux ongoing?
Yeah.
How long is too long to take Tums, Pepcid, before they need to come see a specialist such as yourself?
The short answer will be no more than a few weeks, three, 4 weeks, and you took your Pepcid, it still doesn't go away, then please go ahead and talk to your doctor about it. Don't let it go too long untreated.
Okay, great advice. We are speaking with Dr. Iwana Bonten, and you're listening to Doctor's Own Call, presented by Northside Hospital. We'd love to take your calls at 404-872-0750. You're listening to 95.5 WSB. And welcome back to the second half hour of Doctor's Own Call, presented by Northside Hospital and 95.5 WSB. Our guest in the studio this week is Dr. Iwana Bonta. She is a board-certified medical oncologist and internist, thoracic oncologist in head and neck malignancy, melanoma, and clinical trials. She's an adjunct clinical assistant professor at Morehouse School of Medicine. And we are taking your calls at 404-872-0750. And Dr. Bonta, we have a caller on the line that wants to speak with you. Miss Kathy, how are you today? You're on 95.5 WSB.
I'm fine, thank you.
How can we help you today?
I wondered what advances have been made in the treatment of breast cancer in the last decade.
Yes, thank you for your questions, Ms. Kathy. Yes, there are significant advances in breast cancer. And in fact, every month there is a new clinical trial that is reported that gives us more and more hope in treating our breast cancer patients. Now, when we treat breast cancer, it really depends on what we call the stage of the cancer. We have stage 1 and 2. Those are considered earlier stages. And then stage 3 and 4, those are more advanced stages. And the treatments are different for not only different cancer types, different breast cancer types, but also for different stages. The most innovative therapies that came out lately are the ones that are called targeted therapies. And if we find a certain mutation on the breast cancer tumor, then patients may be able to be treated with a target specifically against that mutation. Also, immunotherapy came up lately on the breast cancer treatment, and there are some types of breast cancer called inflammatory breast cancer. And we just had, about last month, reported at our national conference 7 years overall survival improvement with almost doubled with immunotherapy in mm-hmm. breast cancer.
Thank you very much.
Does that answer your question, Ms. Kathy? I understand that your daughter has just been diagnosed with breast cancer. We're so sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless you, sweetheart.
Thank you very much. We lost my younger daughter to breast cancer 12 years ago.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. You must be so scared.
I'm very scared.
Okay.
Understandably so.
Our prayers are with you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Okay, honey. God bless. Bye-bye. Oh, my heart just breaks for her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
but
difficult.
The advances it's have difficult. Come a long way.
Yes. And actually, we have more therapies now than we had not only 7 years ago, 5 years ago, but mm-hmm. even a month ago.
Right.
So every month there is more and more help and more hope for our patients with cancer.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. All right. Now, earlier before the break, I mean, we were talking about GERD, acid reflux, and how if it's not treated properly and it continues, it can lead to esophageal cancer.
Yes, there is a risk. So left untreated, the reflux or GERD can lead to something called Barrett's esophagus. The only way to know whether there is this Barrett's esophagus, those changes in the lining of the esophagus, is to do an endoscopy. This is when a doctor, gastroenterologist, goes down with a little camera down the esophagus, and they look at the mucosa, and where there are some changes of inflammation, they take a little biopsy, and then they send it to pathology, and we see these what we call Barrett's changes, and this is called a precancerous situation or condition. Less than about 1% of Barrett's esophagus are transforming into an esophageal cancer. But look, less than 1% is not zero.
Right, right.
And we do see transformations. So if you have this reflux, it doesn't go away, then maybe a good idea to see a gastroenterologist and have this endoscopy
right.
and find out, do you have changes? Do you have any irritation on your esophagus mucosa? And don't worry, when the procedure is done, you're not awake and feeling
right.
everything. Usually patients are in a sedation, we call it a twilight, and you essentially go to sleep, and then the
lovely propofol, right?
Well, that's one of the medications our beloved anesthesiologist use.
Yes. Okay, so don't keep popping the antacids and the Prilosex and, you know, for long-term use.
This is a Band-Aid. This mm-hmm. helps with the symptom, mm-hmm. but doesn't cure the cause, doesn't take care of the cause.
Okay. We have another caller on hold that would like to talk to you, Dr. Bonta. We're going to go to Diane in Griffin, Georgia. Diane, you're on WSB. What's your question for Dr. Bonta?
Good morning. My question to you, doctor, is how old or what is the early age that a girl can develop breast cancer? And also, what do you feel about alternative medicine treating breast cancer?
Okay, I think your radio is on, so if you could turn that radio off in the background, Diane, we'll answer your question for you.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, doctor.
Diane, thank you for your question. Unfortunately, these days we are seeing younger and younger patients that are diagnosed with cancer, including breast cancer. In the past, we used to think cancer happens to patients in their, 80s, 70s,
right.
60s. But now we're seeing patients in their 40s and 30s and even 20s.
Gosh.
With cancers, including breast cancer. So if you feel a lump, if you feel any discharge from the breast, from the nipple, this is never normal. It doesn't necessarily have to be a cancer, but it is abnormal, so we need to check it out. If you have any nipple retraction, if there are any changes around your breast, any sores, any open wounds, this is never normal. So it doesn't matter what age it is. If there is anything unusual going on with your breast, then patients need to go and see their doctor. Generally, doctors will recommend to have a mammogram or an ultrasound, and if necessary, a biopsy. Not everybody gets a biopsy, but any changes need to be investigated. Please don't let that one slide because of the age. These days, cancer can happen at any age.
What age are they recommending now to have breast cancer screening, a mammogram?
Yes, the mammograms are or breast cancer screening. If you don't have any risk factors,
right,
such as what we call a high risk BRCA or BRCA mutation, so in patients with not known family, significant family history or any genetic mutations, we recommend starting mammograms after age of 40, every 1 to 2 years, and then after 50 every year. Importantly, for screening of other cancers, more recently, we have a change in the recommendations of screening for colonoscopies.
Yes.
And the reason is because we see younger and younger patients that are diagnosed with colon cancer. So any person that turns 45, the magic number these days is 45, needs to have a colonoscopy, providing you don't have a family history of colon cancer. How about patients who do have a history of colon cancer? Then we, in immediate family, like first degree relatives, like your parents or your siblings, for those patients, actually, we still recommend to have a colonoscopy at the age that your sibling or your parents had the colon cancer diagnosis minus 10. Let's say you have your parent had a colon cancer at age of 50, then the recommendations for the child is to have a colonoscopy at 50 minus 10 at 40 years old.
Okay, great information. Was your question answered, Diane?
Yes, I got one more question.
Sure.
If your breast side cup is shrinking, I mean your breast getting smaller, is that a warning sign?
If your breast is shrinking over time, this is not necessarily a sign of cancer. It's part of our body change. However, if you do feel a lump in the breast, and we actually do recommend for women any age to do breast self-examination. You know, when you're in a shower, do some examination palpation of your right breast or of your left breast, and also of the lymph nodes on the underarms, in the axilla. And if you feel anything abnormal, any lumps or bumps that are new to you, please don't let it uninvestigated. Look for that. Talk to your primary care physician. Talk to your doctors.
Yeah. If in doubt, Diane, talk to your doctors. Thank you, sweetheart, for your call. You're listening to Doctor's Own Call, presented by Northside Hospital and 95.5 WSB. We'd love to hear from you. 404-872-0750. Our guest in the studio is Iwana Bonta. She is a board-certified medical oncologist and internist, thoracic oncology, head and neck, malignancy, melanoma, and clinical trials. Give us a call. We have one segment left. Only on 95.5 WSB.
848 in the Loud Security Systems Traffic Center, and we got some better news for you on the south side. That crash is completely cleared now from the on-ramp I-75 southbound, trying to access that from Hudson Bridge Road, so no more issues on that side. But on the other side of I-75, if you're in the northwest side of town traveling northbound, I am seeing some new slowdowns just before Moores Mill Road. That's going to be exit 254. We're spinning the jam cam now to figure out exactly what lanes are being impacted there, but you are going to have some hangups as you make your way towards that Cumberland area. I'm Chinwe Maponya-Cook, Triple Team Traffic, 95.5 WSB.
I'm WSB meteorologist Christina Edwards. Partly to mostly cloudy for today, high 96. Scattered rain showers and thunderstorms through the afternoon. Lows tonight in the mid-70s.
Welcome back to the final segment of Doctors on Call, presented by Northside Hospital and 95.5 WSB. I want to thank my guest this show and hour, Iwana Bonta, Dr. Iwana Bonta, board-certified medical oncologist and internist, thoracic oncologist, head and neck malignancy, melanoma, and clinical trials. She's an adjunct clinical assistant professor at Morehouse School of Medicine. Thank you so much, Dr. Bonta, for joining us this hour.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so there is a new pancreatic cancer drug.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yes, it is very exciting, and it did get a lot of press, rightfully so. Traditionally, pancreatic cancers are hard to treat. It's a type of cancer that just eludes the immune system. And more importantly, pancreatic cancer doesn't really have significant symptoms until later on. So by the time we get to diagnose it, unfortunately, it is in advanced stages.
Right.
So finally, was very hopeful and to see that we have some advances now in treating pancreatic cancer. This drug has been developed for the advanced or metastatic pancreatic cancer for patients who have already progressed on first line of chemotherapy. And it had actually showed that it doubled the overall survival, meaning how long the patients live. From about 7 months was the life expectancy
wow.
of those patients
okay.
to over 12 months, 13 months or so.
Okay.
The drug, it's called daraxonrasib, and it's a mouthful, daraxonrasib.
Yes.
I don't know how we come up with those names. And it's important because it overcomes some what we call undruggable status of a certain mutation called a KRAS mutation. One important thing, actually two things that I want to mention about this drug. One, it is not yet FDA approved. There's a lot of work in getting it through mm-hmm. faster, but it is available through a compassionate use access or expanded use access. And Northside is working on having those expanded access opened up
right.
fairly soon
Good.
For our patients. And the other thing is to know this is not, we have a lot of questions and calls about this drug. It is not curing the prostate cancer, but it does help patients live longer.
Fantastic.
And also has side effects such as especially skin and mouth sores.
Okay.
It's not the miracle drug, but
okay.
it is the next step into fighting this horrible cancer.
Okay, well, each step gets us closer, right, Dr. Bonta?
That's right.
Okay. Now, you talked about a genomic testing. Genomic
yes.
testing.
We talked about it yeah, in the little break. Yes, because in this age now, we really talk about treating the patient, not only the cancer. And I think we said it multiple times in this segment, in this show this morning, every patient is different.
Yes.
So the oncologists are very interested in doing this personalized treatment for each patient. And in order to be able to really tailor the treatment for a specific patient, for a specific cancer, we have several tools, and one important tool is called genomic testing. This is either a blood or a tissue test. And essentially, we have laboratories that will sequence the DNA of the cancer. And we're trying to identify, is there a certain mutation or an alteration, meaning a switch, that turns a normal cell into a cancer cell? If we're able to find this switch, right, then we may have a drug that actually targets that mutation. And this is called an actionable mutation, or it's called targeted therapy. Mm-hmm. Targeted to what? Targeted to a specific mutation. Well, we don't. We can find mutations in many cancers, such as lung cancer or breast cancer or ovarian cancer. Not all the cancers, but I strongly recommend to our patients, if you have been diagnosed with a cancer or you know somebody who has been diagnosed with cancer, make sure you talk to your oncologist about genomic testing.
Okay, great. Great information this hour on Doctors on Call. Thank you, Dr. Iwana Bonta. This has been such a wonderful hour of a plethora of information that you've given us, and such great hope that is out there on the horizon if you have been diagnosed with variable cancers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Almost every day we have a new tool in our toolbox to treat our patients with cancer. Even if the cancer is in advanced stages, we still have a lot of tools to help our patients with cancer.
And Northside Hospital will be right there with you. Thank you to Northside Hospital and 95.5 WSB for this Doctor's Own Call program. We'll be back with you next Sunday at 8 o'clock. You're listening to 95.5 WSB.